Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Pirkei Avos podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn. Hope you are well. Before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or just would like to reach out to say hello, please feel free to send me an email at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week's Mishnah is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud. Days. Chapter 3, Mishnah 12. And the Mishnah is continuing with the teachings of Reb Hananya ben Dosa. So last week, in last week's episode, we discussed Reb Hanina ben Dosa, I apologize, who says, Kol shiras cheto kodemes l'chachmasa, chachmasa miskayemes. He says, anyone whose fear of sin takes precedence over his wisdom, his wisdom will endure. But anyone whose wisdom takes precedence over his fear of sin, his wisdom will not endure. Now, this week's Mishnah, this week's episode, it's another teaching from Rav Hanina ben Dosa. And it's in the similar vein, the similar way, how he's teaching us. We have one thing and not the other. It's not going to last out, and we're going to explain what that means. Who Huoya Omer, he used to say, Hanina ben Dosa used to say, Kol shem ma'isav meruba mechachmasav, whoever has their good deeds exceed his wisdom, chachmaso miskayemes, his wisdom will endure. But if somebody's wisdom is more than his actions, and we'll see what that means, his wisdom will not endure. So we have this teaching here, Rav Hanina ben Dosa, where he's saying, if you have that your good deeds are more than your wisdom is going to last. But if it's not, you know, if the wisdom is more than your actions, so it's not gonna stay the wisdom. So what does it mean? What are we talking about? And what's the lessons that we could take out from this Mishnah? So the first part of the Mishnah is this idea, Kol shem ma'isav meruba mechachmasoi, that anyone whose good deeds exceed his knowledge. This concept is that, you know, the last Mishnah talked about this commitment from not transgressing. And when we don't transgress, that's how we get eternal wisdom. This Mishnah refers to committing the positive commandments as a prerequisite. That in order to have that wisdom, we have to do to keep it. Now, I saw a very beautiful understanding. It seems like on a simple understanding, this Mishnah is referring to that the good deeds someone does should be more than his wisdom. I mean to say is that the things that we learn about should be put into action. You know, Judaism is an action-based religion. We don't want people keeping it in their heart. I mean, it's important to keep it in your heart, but my point is it's not just in your heart. It's to be put into action, to be done, to accomplish. And the Mishnah is teaching us here that your good deeds have to outnumber your wisdom. And I saw a very beautiful understanding of this, that sometimes, according to the letter of the law, you know, the halacha only dictates a certain level of responsibility, a certain level of doing something. But the way we act and the way that we do should go beyond what our wisdom, what the halacha tells us to do. And there's something called seichel, it's called your intellect, your understanding, that when we do, you know, we shouldn't just do things according to the minimum requirements of to do it. We should try to do it even more than what's required of us, to do it in the most proper way possible. So for example, we have a mitzvah. And you know, let's say there's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. So, you know, there's different ways how you could fulfill your requirement of giving tzedakah. But at the same time, we should, know ourselves that when it comes to our good deeds, we should try to fulfill it in a way that it's even more than the halachos, the wisdom that we know. And that means, for example, that when we give the tzedakah, how do we give it? Do we give with a happy face? Do we give with a frown? Do we give with a smile? Are we generous? Do we just give the minimum? Do we try to give a little bit more so a person could get himself back on his own two feet? This is one example where we're going, the action we do should a little bit beyond the ideas that we know. That's this understanding that if a person has an outlook like that, where he's looking to always do not just the minimum, he wants to do it the mitzvah in the correct way. So then the wisdom that he learned, the Torah that he learned, that's going to stay with him forever. It's because it was internalized. It was something which is processed, which is how he's living by. Because, there's something called letter of the law, and then there's something called the spirit of the law. Many times, right, when it comes to taxes, you ask any tax accountant that there's always loopholes, right? There's the letter of the law, there's loopholes. People are always looking for the legal loopholes in the tax code. How do you get out of paying? And no one wants to pay taxes. We want to pay the least amount of taxes possible. And we look for different ways where it could be a wording mistake of the government and the way it's worded, and it's perfectly fine because no one wants to, even though the government says pay tax, we just want to do the minimum we have to do, right? We're not looking to do it in a way to give the government more money so they should go waste it. But when it comes to mitzvos, it's the other way around. When it comes to service of Hashem, we're not looking for the way out of it. We're looking to embrace it and to do it in the most beautiful and the most the best way we can. And sometimes, there's an expression, you can't legislate your way to utopia. Obviously, the Torah is divine and it gives us the best way of living. But there's even in the halacha, that's the Jewish law, and there's limits of how far, when you're dealing with laws and what to do, what not to do, there's limits and it's very black and white. And there are situations where a person could theoretically be exempted in halacha, but the right thing to do, based on the situation is to maybe follow through and to do it anyways, to push yourself and to do what's called upon you. There's certain examples in damages. There's a lot of the halachos of damages are very complex. There's certain situations where a person could be exempted in halacha, and it's based off of verses in the Torah. But the right thing to do is to pay the guy back, even if maybe you could have been exempted in a Jewish court. But you're not looking for that. You're looking to do the right thing, whatever is correct and moral, and sort of going above and beyond. To really live your life according to the ideals of the Torah. I saw a beautiful explanation that brings out this idea, I guess another way bringing it out into an example for us to understand. The halacha is that when we put on tefillin in the morning, we put on tefillin, first we put on the arm tefillin, and then we put on the tefillin of the head, tefillin shel rosh. But interesting, when we take off our tefillin, we take off the shel rosh, the tefillin on the head, before we take off the tefillin of the arm. And the commentaries say is that the reason why is that you can never have the shel rosh on, the tefillin of the head on, without having the arm on. So therefore, we put the arm on first, and then once the arm is on, we could put on the tefillin of the head. And when it comes to taking off, first we take off the head and then we take off the arm, because we always want the head tefillin should have both tefillins on when we're wearing the head tefillin. And obviously there's certain situations that a person has a cast or he's not able to put on, so it's they're two separate mitzvot, so he's allowed to put it on without the arm tefillin. But either way, the point is when we do the mitzvah, we always want to do it the right way. And we have whenever the shel rosh is on, it has to have the shel yad. And the commentaries explain that one of the reasons for this is because the shel yad represents action. The arm is action. And the Shalrosh is connected to this concept of ideas, of thought, you know, the world of ideals and ideas. And the lesson here is that you can never have ideas without the action. That, like we said before, that Judaism stresses this, it's an action-based religion. So the tefillin, which represent ideas, which re represent, I guess, goals, have to have be always worn together with the tefillin, which are connected to the arm, which represent action. Because you can't never have ideas without connecting it to an action. And that's again how we when we look at our mitzvah observance, when we look at our relationship with Hashem, when we think about what we learn, we should hopefully take it in a way that translates into action. Now, obviously, the way it translates for one person is not the same that it translates same way it translates for another person. For some one person, it could be, you know, just coming to shul is already a huge step for somebody, or taking a trip with his community. You know, that's for, you know, for another person. But the point is that everybody's different. For others, it could be trying to accept upon themselves a new mitzvah. The point is that we should try to have at least the mindset that we're learning to try to do. And in some way, maybe if we can't do everything right now, right? Well, it's not a healthy thing to do everything in one shot. It's not, I don't know if it's possible even for most people. But the point is to try to incorporate some way that the things that we learn should be brought into our life. And that's this idea from the Mishnah, that the good deeds have to be, that if true wisdom is only attained when there's action that goes along with it. So if there's more action than just your ideas, that means the wisdom is sticking. But if it's the flip side, right, then we might have problems. And actually, the Avos d'Rav Nosson brings down, in the Torah, when the Jews accepted the Torah, it says, what did the Jewish people say when God offered the Torah to the Jewish nation? It says, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. And the Jewish people are praised because even before hearing what was inside of the Torah, they accepted it. They accepted it upon themselves, and we accepted it upon ourselves the yoke of Torah. And really, to tie this idea in a little bit more to the concept we're talking about right now is that if you look at the wording, it says Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. They committed, the Jewish people, we all committed ourselves to do the mitzvos even before we even heard them. This is one of the, I guess, the special things of the Jewish nation, that we're ready to commit ourselves to do what needs to be done. Now, on the flip side of this, it says, "Chol shechachmosay miruba mimaisav in chachmosay." So obviously, the flip side is, like we learned, that if a person's actions are not as much as his wisdom, or not more than his wisdom, so then the wisdom is not real wisdom. And you know, it's obvious for us to understand this, that this idea that if it doesn't translate into action, it means that the wisdom is not having an effect on the person. So, but another way of explaining this idea is that when the Mishnah says "V'chol shechachmasim berubam ma'isav ein chachmasim miskayemes," that when it says when anyone's wisdom is more than his actions, the wisdom will not last, it's referring to a person who only does things that he understands the reason why he's doing them. Now, obviously, it's a beautiful thing for people to understand mitzvos, to understand why we do things, why we do what we do. We're encouraged. I always encourage people to learn the significances behind the mitzvos, to understand them on a deeper level. But if a person only does mitzvos that he understands, he's going to come to a point, a dead end, regarding his mitzvah observance, and I guess I believe with his Torah learning as well. Because if you break the mitzvos down, there's three types of mitzvos. There's chukim, edios, and there's mishpatim. There's civil law, which is, you know, mishpatim, edios, which are testimonies, which is like sort of similar to it's matzah, shofar, lulav. We do these things to testify that Hashem either he's running the world or he took us out of Egypt. And then the last set of mitzvos are chukim, divine ordinances. Now, divine ordinances are We do them because God told us to do them. Period. Example, red heifer. Example, carbon pesa. I mean, not carbon pesa. Carbon, a carbon, a sacrifice. And there's other mitzvos, which are divine ordinances, which we're never going to understand the reason for them, why, how they work, why we do them. There are some commentaries that explain, try to help us give us understanding, but we're not going to fully comprehend them. But really, when it comes to all mitzvos, there is an element that we have to have in them that it is, we do them, and the bottom, the reason why we're doing them is because Hashem told us to do them. Sure, there's reasons, and we should try to understand those reasons, and sure, we should try to get clarity, and sure, we should try to understand them on a deeper level. But in the end of the day, the bottom line is any mitzvah, we're doing it because Hashem told us to do it. That's it. Because if you make your mitzvah observances dependent on reasons, so if the reason applies, the mitzvah applies. If the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah, God forbid, we might say that the mitzvah does not apply. And that's this Mishnah that's Chol Sheh Chachmasim Rumei Maisav, that he only, he's very smart, he understands everything, and therefore he's very calculated what he does or she does, right? And only the things that the wisdom, the intellect can understand, they do, they're going to have a problem. Because ultimately, all mitzvos tie back to this concept of doing it because Hashem wants us to do it, and that's it. And this is an important aspect for us to have when it comes to our Yiddishkeit, our Judaism, because we all have those days where it's hard for us to do things. It's hard for us to go to work. It's hard for us to, but we do it anyways. We do it because we have responsibility to our family, to ourselves, to our employer, right? And even if we don't want to go, we get up and go, right? People who just don't go, they're the people who have problems, have issues, right? They have problems develop later on very quickly. But we get up, we go because we know we need to. And I think when it comes to our relationship with Hashem, sometimes, obviously, we try to strive to be in a place where we always want to do the mitzvahs, we're excited about it. But sometimes it's not so easy. And how do you push through? How do you keep it going if, the reason's not talking to you? It's not, getting you excited. And the answer to that is that we have to know and remember that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to Hashem. We have a responsibility to God. He put us here. He gave us life. He gave us everything good in our life. We have to do what He wants us to do. And that's what we put on the tefillin anyways. We light the Shabbos candles anyways, because even if we're not feeling at that moment, because we know we have to. And this is this idea that when if a person limits themselves, it's the only things that they understand, they're going to be handicapped themselves, and ultimately it'll lead them away from mitzvah observance. One more understanding of this Mishnah, this last part of the Mishnah, is that it's a person who both sides of it is that sometimes people are naturally smart, naturally, have good memories. And we've talked about in the past this idea that it's about the effort. And the Mishnah is telling us something very important, that when it says action and it says wisdom, and referring to action in greater portion than wisdom, that's what endures, or wisdom that's more than action. It's referring to wisdom, specific wisdom that's gained through toil. That when a person puts in effort and toil, right, which represents the action, and that's greater than his wisdom, that's the wisdom that truly endures. That if some things come easy for a person, it doesn't necessarily stay with them. But if things are hard for a person, they push through and they toil and they persevere, that's what sticks with them throughout their life. And something you think about is, I think everyone can relate to this idea. Things that were hard for you and you push through anyways, those are probably the most cherished memories that you have, or certain experiences in life that you keep. And you think about things that you have to work hard in, and it stays with you longer and better. And that's this idea of this Mishnah, that when a person applies themselves and works hard at something and has a goal and keeps going at it, that's something which is going to cause his wisdom to stay with him, because he worked at it, he kept at it, and never gave up. And the way that it's understood for people many times is like, if you give a kid money, they don't appreciate it. But once the kid works for the money and then buys something with that money, so then whatever they buy is a lot more precious to them, and they won't let it get ruined, and they'll take care of it. because they bought it, they worked hard for that money. But when it's given on a silver platter, you don't appreciate it so much. So the point is that when we work hard for something and we put effort into it, God willing, it stays with us for our entire lives. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, please feel free to reach out to me at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, at gmail.com. Have a great day.